anniversary, Westbridge. Wow. Woo. It was 12 years ago this very night that we came out in a Ford pickup truck loaded with the all borrowed and freely given sound equipment and pulled the trigger on what would become Westbridge Community Church. And it has been an honor to watch what God has done in people's lives and continues to do in people's lives and in our lives as well. So we're so thrilled that you were here to celebrate with us tonight. We are going to begin our night by worshiping God, speaking to Him through song. You're going to see a lot of memories. You're going to see a lot of highlights of what God has done over 12 years. And we pray that as you witness those, as you see what God has done, you'll realize that Westbridge Community Church is not a perfect church. It's not. But it's a church that tries. It's a church that tries real hard to do what the Bible says, to try to actually live out what God has written down in His Word. And although we stumble and bumble through it a lot of times, feeling like we're not getting anywhere, God has been advancing His kingdom. And we have seen over 100 people give their lives to Christ and be baptized in the waters of a pool. And it's all stuff that you'll see tonight that's very special to us. And we pray that you would prepare your heart for what God will do tonight in what you see. And Lord, we pray that tonight would be a night where we continue to hear from you, where you would lead us on to give us new marching orders and to reinforce what you've called us to do. Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to engage your word and to engage what you want us to hear. I pray that you keep your hand upon us, and we know that there's an adversary that doesn't like what we're doing and doesn't like what's happening. And Lord, I pray that you would keep us safe. I pray that your hand would be upon the church and it would be upon each one of us so that we can continue what you call us to do, what you want us to do. And thank you again in advance for all those who you will bring to yourself. Amen. You may be seated. Well, for 12 years, my process is pretty much the same. By Monday morning, I have a blank computer screen in front of me, and I ask God to show me. I start with the same prayer every week. I say, Lord, what do you want me to say? And I feel like nothing's going to happen until I say that prayer. And this happened 2 weeks ago. Only 2 weeks ago, we put this service together. It's been a very, very busy fall for everyone at Westbridge, and it was 2 weeks ago that I sat down at the computer and I said, okay, Lord, what do you want to say at anniversary? What is it that you want us to hear? And he led me to Galatians chapter 6, which is what we're going to be looking at tonight, as if it's something that I needed to hear, and I hope it's something that God wants you to hear as well. And we're going to flesh through this whole passage of 10 verses and see what God wants us to learn in it, and I'll explain exactly what this book is, because tonight the Bible passage is found in Galatians chapter 6. Now, the book of Galatians, you know, the Bible is made up of 66 books, and this particular book was actually a letter. It's a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul, and he mailed this letter to the churches in the region of Galatia, that's why it's called the letter to the Galatians. And now, Paul had written this letter to the churches because some confusion had arisen as to whether or not following Jesus Christ meant that they no longer needed to follow Jewish ceremonial laws. Did they still need to be circumcised, to be in? And this was all questions that they were trying to make sense of in this new Jews for Jesus movement, which became Christianity. And it's a very interesting book, the book of Galatians, because it answers important questions. You actually get them right written down, questions that no longer need to be answered because they're answered, they're in writing. It also tells us how following Jesus can be very clear. We know what he wants us to do because of what's written down here. And Paul, in this letter, offers us very practical insight on what serving Jesus will entail. I find it to be very refreshing because Paul tells it like it is. He tells the good, he tells the bad, and he tells the ugly. I also find that Paul's words help us to gain a better understanding of our role as members here of a church, Westbridge Community Church. So let's read this. This is where he's concluding his letter. He had addressed a lot of the information that they needed to know about whether Jewish ceremonial law still needed to be followed. And he's finishing up now with basically my final words to you. And he says this, chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. And carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test his own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each person, each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructors. Now, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh they will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. In these 10 verses, Paul has informed us of a ton of things. I want to make our first observation tonight. The first thing we observe about this section is that Christ followership is not a spectator sport. In this closing passage of Galatians by Paul, Christ followers, and that's you and me, we are called to, according to this passage, we are called to forgive. We are called to restore people. We are called to counsel people. We are to guard their hearts and guard our hearts. They are instructed to help others with their burdens while also continuing diligently leading yourself. If that's not enough, each of us are to fulfill, and this is the quote, fulfill all the responsibilities God designed for you, as in each of us. Gang, according to Paul's letter, there is no way that we are simply to be church attenders. We cannot be pew sitters. We are called to watch. We are called not to watch while others do the work, as Paul said, of fulfilling the responsibilities God designed for you. Christ followership is not a spectator sport, according to this passage. Paul reinforces this idea in another letter to the Ephesian church. Here's what he writes there. This is from the Amplified Bible, gives it even greater clarity. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, that is, special messengers, some prophets, that is, inspired teachers and expounders, some evangelists, that are preaching the gospel and traveling missionaries, some he gave the gift to be pastors, that is, shepherds of his flock, and some teachers. Verse 12, his intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of the ministering towards building up Christ's body, the church. Here at Westbridge, we camp out on this truth. We have been teaching this for 12 years. Not only do we live it out, we depend on this truth for God to do his work here. Here, last week, we heard Scott say goodbye. And although most of us shed a tear, it was a happy moment in our hearts. That's because each of us were very pleased with the story of a young man who did what Paul is writing about here. He grew in his knowledge and the Spirit of God while ministering and fulfilling the responsibilities God designed for him. When I met Scott, his ministry was to walk a tray of cartons of milk, small cartons of milk, to walk that out of the church kitchen and put that down after the service so the children would have something to drink so the parents could talk. That was his ministry. Now, I'm not saying anything disparaging about that. That was his work, and that was good. But what I am saying is, I'm glad he didn't stop there. I'm glad he didn't say, this is it. I'm just going to pew sit now, and I'm going to observe other people do ministry. Like we say to people who come here, especially when they've come, they decided this is where they want to be, say, you need to come, and you need to just sit. You need to relax for a whole year. Let any wounds that you have heal. Go to a small group. Build friendships. And deepen your relationship with God. For a whole year, we tell you, do that. Take 4 full seasons. I want you to see it all. Through the cold, through the heat, through it all. And strengthen your mind, your body, and soul for a year. And when that year is over, something special will knock on your door. The privilege to serve. God will then move you from the spectator stands onto the playing field. Maybe it'll be doing a small part in a drama, or even working backstage. Maybe it will be working with the hospitality team. I've noticed our church has got a great appreciation of the hospitality team recently. It's like, don't eat. We're going to church. We'll eat there. How awesome that people are doing that. Maybe your job, the job God's calling you to do, would be work on a setup and teardown team. Maybe a hauling team member. Maybe you're supposed to work the computer. Maybe the soundboard. Maybe teach. Or even be an elder. Now, does that sound scary? If it does, I get it. Sometimes, breaking the ice is the toughest part. Gang, God has responsibilities for each of us. Some of the responsibilities that God has had for me over my past 30 years were setting up chairs, reading Bible stories to kindergarten children. Another one of my ministries was running wires. Another one of my ministries was putting out tables. Another, hauling supplies with my truck. Paul is telling the Galatians that serving Christ is an active and vigorous calling, and we need to be about it. One of the things that I have learned about people is that people are not afraid of hard work. People are not afraid of hard work. What people do not like is harmful work or even unproductive, fruitless work. And Paul wrote this. He's the one who wrote this. He knows well the pain of investing in people, loving people, pointing people the right way, only to see them wander back to the turmoil and the sadness and the emptiness that they have wallowed in their whole lives. It's difficult to the one who's living out the dysfunction, but it's also hard on the person trying to pull them back out of it. In chapter 4, Paul actually lets this out a little bit, where you can see that he has become a bit discouraged. He wrote this in chapter 4 of the book of Galatians. I'll read it in 3 different versions. He says, I fear for you that somehow I've wasted my efforts on you. I fear for you. Perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing. I'm afraid that I may have labored over you in vain. Gang, we have been through 12 years together fighting side by side. basking in the victories, celebrating the wins, but also in that 12 years, we have picked each other up when we were weak. We have stood by one another and put our arms around one another when we were wounded. Paul had pain, and Paul had disappointment. God doesn't hide that fact from us. It's part of the recipe for what he's called us to do. The Apostle Paul lived out our point two tonight. Our point two is this: fatigue is normal, but it must be dealt with. No matter how big or how small your service to God is, you will feel fatigue. Charles Spurgeon, called the prince of all preachers, taught this to his Bible students. He said, "As it is recorded that David, in the heat of battle, waxed faint, so may it be written of all the servants of the Lord. Fits of depression come over most of us. Usually cheerful as we may be, we must at intervals be cast down. The strong are not always vigorous, the wise not always ready, the brave not always courageous, and the joyous not always happy. There may be here and there men of iron to whom the wear and the tear of work leaves no perceptible detriment, but surely the rust frets even these." Half the battle of being worn is knowing that it will come upon us. Parents, you will have difficult days raising a child, and it will wear on you. Students, you will have struggles that make you want to quit. There's no doubt about it. And the ministers of Jesus, you will have days where you don't feel like ministering for Jesus any longer. One of the practices I have yet to find the answer to and solution on is the practice of caring and loving people. You see, if you care too much and you care too deeply, then when disappointment comes, you want to fold up and die. But if you don't care and don't love fully with everything you have in you, then your passion, your connection to others deteriorates. Scott mentioned last week that our very first men's group was three people. Me, Scott, and a new fella that we had met through Westbridge. He was looking to get his life on track, and he struggled with drug addiction and a lot of other issues. So we cared for this guy. Scott and I went out, and we got big workbooks that we would go through called Experiencing God, and we committed to being there every week and doing these studies together and making sure that we would all be learning and going in the right direction. We were going to take this guy to a mountaintop and turn him into the next apostle for Jesus. Unfortunately, he lasted only a couple weeks, and the rest of that 12-week study, Scott and I did with just the two of us. We will get worn if we serve God the way he asks us to. But he knows that, and he's there for us the whole time through it. In that first men's group Bible study, I cared so much for this young man's rescue. I cared so much about his liberation that when it didn't happen, I hurt. And it made me not want to go deep again with anyone else. Paul wrote in the book of Galatians that his heart hurt. "I fear perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing." Well, I've learned a lot since that first men's group. And I wish that I could take the Apostle Paul to breakfast. And I would even want to bring someone else along, someone else who I know from our church, or maybe someone I don't know who's going through trouble, maybe someone whose child rebelled. And I would say the same thing to Paul and to that parent. I would lean across the table and I would say to them, it's a risk. No matter what, it's a risk. We must love. We must invest with no conditions and with no expectations attached to it. We must pour our time and pour our energy and our best conversations into someone and take the risk that they will marginalize what we say and that they will discard what we say. There was a woman in a church who made world-class quilts. Her quilts started in the hundreds. She had quilts that sold in the thousands of dollars. Well, one day, a missionary from Europe came to her church and told of the terrible conditions that the people in his area were living in, and how some people in his area were actually freezing to death in the frigid winters. Well, that touched this woman. And she went home, and for a year, she poured herself into making two identical quilts. Two hand-sewn, wonderfully intricate, amazingly beautiful, matching quilts. It took her a year. She brought them back to church when the missionary had promised to come back a year later. And he did. He came back and she came with her two quilts. And she went up to the missionary before the service and told him what she had done and said that she wanted to give these to him to take back. She said, all I ask, and she said to the pastor, all I ask is that you let me pray for these two quilts before the entire church. And they said, absolutely, we'll let you do that. So she did. Two quilts are put on table in front of her, in front of the church. And she picked up that first quilt, and she hugged it, and she prayed this. Lord, let this gift never find a home. Let the warmth that it can offer and the beauty of its craftsmanship never be experienced or valued by a single soul. May it be used as a rag and drug in the street and spoiled with filth. Let no one ever find the comfort, blessing, or love that it brings. Allow it to be abused and mistreated and then discarded as worthless. For then, Lord, I will understand in the smallest way the risk you took and how it felt when you gave us your son, Jesus. She put it down and she picked up quilt number two. And she prayed, Dear Heavenly Father, allow this covering to serve your kingdom. Let it save a life and offer relief and comfort to those who cherish it. And please allow me the privilege of having been your minister of love and grace. You see, gang, when we serve God and love others, it's a risk. That's what I would say at that breakfast table to the Apostle Paul and to my new friend. But then I would remind them of the final words of Paul in this passage when he wrote, Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Point three tonight is that stick-to-itiveness will bring about results. Here at Westbridge, God has shown us what victory over sin looks like. God has shown us what healing the broken is all about. And he has shown us that taking faith is the only way to life to the full. There's little doubt at Westbridge as to what the highlight of our year is. Our highlight is our baptism. It's around that pool that we get a chance to reverently read the story of someone's life, where we get to peek into the behind the scenes and see the working of God and hear how God entered into someone's life. But there are even more moments throughout the years that proclaim the results God Himself has garnished. Stick-to-itiveness will bring about results. I think you will agree that 12 years of stick-to-itiveness certainly has brought about some amazing God results. Christ followership is not a spectator sport, Paul tells the Galatian church. Fatigue is normal, but it must be and can be dealt with. And stick-to-itiveness will bring about results. Tomorrow is our church softball game. It is a time for us to relax and bask in the love and friendships God has given us. But tomorrow morning, I'd love for you to take a moment, sit down, and have a cup of coffee or have a cup of tea with God and say thank you. Thank you and happy anniversary for the church He created 12 years ago. Thank Him for what He has done in your life, and thank Him for what He has done in the life of this church family. We thought we would make that moment tomorrow morning a little bit easier for you. So we are providing you a beautiful Westbridge coffee mug for tomorrow morning. Everyone will get one of those tonight. They are in our theme color of black. Everyone will receive one on their way out, but we thought we would just finish the... Well, we're past anyway. So we'll just close out with a little bit of worship and talk to God together corporately before we say good night. Lord, we thank You for what You've done in our midst. Thank You for bringing us a movie to tell us You weren't dead, but we really didn't need that. We knew darn well right here, You're changing lives. You're making broken into whole, dysfunctional into function. Lord, help us as we continue to move forward. Forgive us when we make mistakes and forgive us when we get astray, but keep bringing us back. Help us to have that stick-to-itiveness to keep doing what You've called us to do, even when it's hard, even when we're tired, even as Spurgeon said, when we think that there are men who can't be hurt, that no, even the rust gets to them too. But help us to remember that You are a God who in the end tells us we are destined to win. We are destined to live as princes and princesses in Your kingdom, side by side with You, co-heirs. And help us to make the most of the time You've given us. Thank You for 12 years. We ask that the next 12 be even more grand and that Your kingdom be advanced even further. We love You. Thank You for loving us. And we pray that tonight put a smile on Your face. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy anniversary.